I enjoy talking. I mean, I really, really, really enjoy running my mouth. I don't know if I'm any good at it, but boy, I sure like doing it. You may have heard the old joke about the little boy whose dad was a preacher. And the mom asked the little boy, said, "Son, what do you want to be when you grow up?" He said, "Well, I want to be a preacher like my daddy." Mom said, "Why? That's great, son. You know, why do you want to be a preacher like your daddy?" He said, "Well, the way I figure it's this. If I got to go to church, I'd rather talk than listen." That's kind of how I feel. I like to talk. I don't know if I had anything worth saying, but I sure enjoy talking. One day, one of our small groups was meeting in one of the rooms here at church, and I just happened to be here on site. And I saw them in their meeting, and I just kind of walked in and sat down and started talking. I said, "Oh, y'all were here. I was here. I assumed you wanted me to talk to you. So let's talk." And I just kind of barged in and took over the conversation. It's so funny. Sarah, my little girl Sarah's already learned kind of how I am. You know, I'm kind of just wired this way. By the way, it's no worse thing than having to go to a movie with me because I don't shut up. You know the guy in the movie theater that won't shut up during the movie? That guy's me. I'm that guy. And I'm always elbowing her and saying, "What about that? You know, or did you see that?" or whatever. The only thing worse than going to movies with me is going to church with me because I won't shut up. So it's a good thing I'm a preacher, because if I wasn't a preacher, I'd be getting elbowed a lot in church. I mean, I would be getting elbowed a lot in church. But Sarah's already learned I like to talk this much. And so, you know, sometimes we'll go eat after church. We'll be going to do something. And I'll be late, you know. Because I'll be in here talking. And I'll walk out to the car. And Sarah will look at me and say, "Daddy, you've been talking, haven't you?" "Yeah, baby, I've been talking. Yeah, that's kind of what I do, you know." But I also, by the same token, I love to listen. I mean, I really, as much as I like to talk, I enjoy listening to my people and hearing from you. One of the cool things I've enjoyed doing since being here at Asbury is the coffee and conversations that I've been having around town. I've been very fortunate to have some opportunities to sit down in small groups with church members and just listen. Just have a chance to talk about what you see going on in church. To have a chance talking about your perspective of what's going on. Having a chance to get feedback from you. I really do welcome feedback. I mean, I enjoy getting the text message in the afternoon. I enjoy getting the email. Many of you have gotten emails from me after you give me your email address on the sign-in sheet. I try to email you and follow up with you. I enjoy hearing from you. I'm an open door, open access kind of preacher. I like hearing from you. So I enjoy talking, and I enjoy listening. But there comes a time. There comes a time when the talking has to stop. There comes a time when the listening has to stop. And that there must be some action behind what is said. And the listening must produce some change or some action. Or we've just been flapping our gums for no reason. And we've just been listening for no reason. It's got to produce something. If you've got your Bibles this morning, I want to read to you from James. If you don't have your scriptures, you can either listen along to me as I read, or you can follow it up on the screen. I'm going to read to you from James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it with your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a sister or a brother who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well.' But if you don't give that person any food or clothing, what good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now, some may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you, and you believe that there's good one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish are you? Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. And so it happened, just as scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you will see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers who sent them safely away by a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so is faith dead without good words. Last week, one of the questions that was texted into me during the time of questions, the time of bringing your cell phone to church was basically, you know, what does it mean to be a Christian? And the answer I go back to with how you become a Christian is actually very simple. And it's going to kind of fly in the face of what we read just here. Paul writes in Romans 10:9 where he says this, if you believe in your heart that Christ is the Son of God, and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That, to me, is the most simple formula for how you become a Christian. Really, there's no more simple understanding of how you become a Christian than Paul in Romans 10, verse 9. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. That's it. That's the list. That's all that's required to become a Christian. Belief and confession. That's it. Not rocket science. That's what it means to become a Christian. But Andy, you just read there in James, and James just said, faith without works is dead. What is he talking about there? How can Paul, on one hand, say, if you believe in your heart and confess, then you're good to go. But yet James, say a few verses later, faith without works is dead. Which is it? How can it be both? How can you do both? Which is it, faith or is it works? What is it? Starts with faith. Starts with a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. I went to a conference yesterday in Jackson about the five fruitful practices of congregations. And that's a study we're going to be doing here in our church next January. And I went to listen to the author talk about it. And he took away some good, he said some good stuff there that really kind of resonated with me. And one of the things he talked about in this study was inviting folks to church. And he said, before you can invite people to church, you need to invite God into your own life. We can't give witness to what we don't know. Before we can truly be motivated about inviting folks to church, we've got to make sure we've invited God into our own lives. It starts with faith. Yes, faith is the bedrock of it. Faith is where it all starts. Faith is the foundation. It starts with faith, and faith is so easy. Believe and confess, and you shall be saved. That's it. That's the list. That's all you've got to do to be a Christian. Belief and confession, that's it. That is the starting point of the Christian life. Right there. Nothing more, nothing less. Belief, confession, that's it. But as I had a professor in seminary used to always say, therein lies the rub. I can say, I can confess that I love my wife. But if I neglect her, do I really? I can confess that I'm your pastor. And I'm here to serve you and love you and care for you. But if my life doesn't show that care and compassion for you, then do I really love you? I can say a lot of stuff. I'm good at talking. Or, well, let me rephrase that. I talk a lot. I'm not saying I'm good at it. What does my life show? I often tell folks, I don't have on the back of my car one of those little Christian fishes. Because I'm such a bad driver, I'll embarrass God by the way that I drive. I don't want folks to be cut off by a Christian. Because I don't want folks seeing how bad a driver I am. Like, oh, that guy's supposed to be a Christian. He's supposed to drive better than that. I'm a terrible driver. I don't want people to acknowledge that I'm even a Christian when I'm on the road. I'm that bad of a driver. We can say we have faith, and that's awesome. What does your life say? What does your life say? One of my favorite quotes was by John Wesley. John Wesley said this. He said, "Do not tell me that you're a Christian. I will watch you, observe your lifestyle, and then I will tell you if you're a Christian." The easiest place in the world to be a Christian is right now. This hour on Sunday morning is the easiest time to be a Christian because there's no peer pressure not to be. In fact, if there's anything, there's peer pressure to behave and raise your hands and worship. What about tomorrow? What about tomorrow at 2 in the afternoon when you're tired, you need that extra cup of coffee? You would really like to lay hands on your coworker around the neck and pray for them very tightly. You know. What about then? What does your life scream then? Because believe me, y'all, your life is screaming. Your life is screaming something. One of the first Christians I really met in my life, I mean, one of the first people to ever actually make an impact on my life for faith, outside of my family and my church, was a coach at Boca Chica by the name of Mickey Myers, Coach Myers. Coach Myers was our FCA director at Boca Chica. And I'll never forget when I was a junior, Coach Myers said something that's always stuck with me. He said, "Andy, your life may be the only Bible that someone reads." Let me say that again. Your life may be the only Bible that someone reads. What are folks reading when they look at your life? And we can't pretend they aren't, because they are looking at our lives. Our lives are being watched. And what are we proclaiming? What are we doing, y'all? True faith that starts in the heart is going to change the way we live. It's not faith or works. It's not a competition. It's not a contest. It's not either or. It's both and. I like what he says here about the body is going to breathe, y'all. I don't have to tell my body, okay, breathe, 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 breathe. My body simply breathes. That's what the human body does, doesn't it? I mean, none of you are sitting there telling yourself to breathe. You're just breathing. That's how the Lord made us. We simply breathe. That's what the life of faith looks like. It is simply a life lived in response to God's goodness and God's mercy. And it just flows out of us. It's like a spring of water. It's just going to come out. Sometimes. But sometimes you oversleep. And you get stuck in Highway 42 traffic. And there's only one checkout or person at Walmart when there should be more. And the Coke machine won't take your dollar. And you got to sit there and you put it on the edge and you try to straighten it out. And you fold it up and try to get in the Coke machine. And the Coke machine won't take your dollar. And the coffee's not very strong. You got an argument with your spouse. And your kids won't mind you. And you don't know how you're going to make the mortgage this month. And they're letting folks go at work. And the bills keep coming. Your mama's sick. What are you going to do? There's going to come times when Christianity is very easy. There's going to come times when faith is easy. And those are great moments, y'all. We need to rejoice in those moments. But there's times, y'all, when faith is hard. There's times, y'all, when we don't want to do it. There's times when we want to quit and die. First 5K I ever did, I told the church when I got done, I learned so much about faith by running a 5K. Because whenever I was running my 5K, first one I ever did, literally about halfway into it, I wanted to throw up and die. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to stop, vomit, pass out, and get drug off the course. That's what I wanted to happen. But thankfully, I was with a bunch of folks and I couldn't do it. So I just kept going. There's going to come a time in your life when you are going to want to throw up and die. There's going to come a time when you're going to want to quit. There's going to come a time when you want to give up. What are you going to do? What are you going to do then? This month we're talking about just do it. The things that we're supposed to be doing, y'all. And these things are weird because there's going to come times when we want to do these things. There's going to come some months, Sunday mornings, man, you can't wait to get up and go to church. Man, you just can't wait. You got your shoes ready to go. You just can't wait to get out of the house and go to church. There's going to come some Sundays when you don't want to go. When you might be mad at somebody. When you don't like something about church. When you don't like the folks that sit on your row. There's going to come times when you're not going to want to go to church. What are you going to do? There's going to come times when you aren't going to want to read Scripture. Now, there's some mornings, oh, we're going to wake up and we're going to open the Bible and the doves are going to float down from heaven and nestle up beside us. And we're going to hear the angelic voices and we're going to see visions and we're going to dream dreams and it's going to be wonderful and clouds will arise. And there's going to be some times we're like, God, I have no idea what you're saying here. Why am I in Leviticus still, God? Come on, get me out of Leviticus. There's going to come some times when you want to serve. There's going to come some times when you want to give. There's going to come some times when you don't. The question is, what do you do when you don't want to? That is the essence of faith. C.S. Lewis says the prayer the devil fears the most is the prayer we pray when we don't feel like praying. Because that's a life of obedience. That's why we have these things we're supposed to do. Sometimes these things are going to be easy. This month we're going to talk about Scripture. We're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about worship. We're going to talk about being connected. We're going to talk about serving. We're going to talk about giving. There's going to be times when these things are easy. There's going to be times when they're hard. When you run, the first mile is always the hardest. I've been running for over a year now. That first mile always stinks. But you do it because you got to. And the more you do it, the more you can do it. There's going to come times when you don't want to read your Bible. Make yourself do it. The more you do it, the easier it's going to be. There's going to come times when you don't want to come to church. Make yourself do it because you're supposed to. Because it's good for you. Because it's how you grow. We don't just magically become the people we want to become, y'all. We don't just magically become the people we want to be. God asks us to be faithful and do our part. God asks us to do these things, and in doing these things, we find life. So let me ask you this. Who do you want to be when you grow up? Who do you want to be for Jesus Christ when you grow up? And now to go from preaching to meddling, what are you doing about it? What are you doing to become the person you want to be when you grow up? Are you just doing it? One of the hardest races I've been told to run in life is a relay race. Because the hardest part they say in a relay race is the handing of the baton to the other person. You know, if you ever watch the Olympics, you see in a relay race, that's when the baton gets, that's when it gets messed up. It's when they're running, and the one person's got the hand behind it, and the other person's trying to get it in there, and it fumbles, and it drops, and all this. During this series of Just Do It, this image of the baton is going to be very important. Will you take the baton this week? Will you do what you know God wants you to do? Will you do what you know is right, even when you don't want to do it? Will you do what's right, even when it's hard? Will you do what's right, even when it's a challenge? Will you do what's right, even when it's going to be something you just think, oh, God, I can't do this. God, there's no way I can do this. Will you take the baton then? Will you do it? Because I guarantee you, in doing it, you will find life. In doing it, you will find hope. In doing it, you will find peace. But if we don't take it, we'll know that too, won't we? I'm not a big make you guilty type of preacher. Nah, that's not what I do. I don't like to point out what we're doing wrong because most of the time you know what you're doing wrong. Most of us, when we lie in bed at night, we know our mistakes, don't we? This week, will you take the baton? Will you do what God wants you to do? Will you be faithful even when it's hard? Will you be obedient even when you don't want to? I want to challenge you, y'all. Will you read your Bible every day this week? Will you spend time in God's Word every day this week? Will you spend time in prayer this week every day? Will you do it? These things are the way of life. These things will give us life. But if we do not do it, they do us no good. Will you take the baton? Will you do it? Let us pray.